Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I love pastoring Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, I love the privilege of being a Bible preacher. I don't deserve God's blessing. I don't deserve God's goodness in my life. I don't deserve God's promises. I don't deserve God's love, and I get to serve God. Sometimes I got to pinch myself. Is this real? Are these many, this many people really getting born again, like on a day like last Friday? It's exciting. We are in the last days, and it is exciting to serve God. And if you're not serving God, I want to impress upon you this morning, before I get to the message, what are you waiting for? Why don't you sell out and serve God right now? Why don't you give Jesus Christ everything you have right now? Because the blessings of God are good. I would rather live in a pup tent outside the city gates of the New Jerusalem than in the most palatial mansion on this earth. I would rather be a servant of God than king of the world. The blessings of God are that real. And are you with me this morning? There's not a lot of amens this morning. Get with it. Now let's look at Philippians and chapter 3. I want to encourage you. I want to give to you three reasons to press on. Three reasons to keep on going for God. They're all in chapter 4. We're going to skip the first half of chapter 4 when we get there. But I've got to read a little more in chapter 3 to set this up. And remember, Paul is writing the church in Philippi. He's writing from prison. This is his first imprisonment. And he's concerned about his brothers and sisters in the Lord at the church at Philippi. He was the one that pioneered and brought the gospel to the city of Philippi. And he loves these people. And it says in verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. In other words, Jews that are not born again. The early church was born out of Judaism. The early church, the majority of the early church, were Jewish people that got born again. But the nation as a whole rejected Christ as the Messiah. And they have a veil over their eyes. And there are Messianic Jews. And what Paul is saying is, I'm a Messianic Jew. I believe that Jesus Christ is the promised one. He is the Messiah. But you beware of those religionists that are of the concision that are not born again. And they have rejected Jesus as their Savior. I met one of those this last week. The Attorney General of the state of Michigan. She needs salvation. Pray for the Attorney General of Michigan. Pray for her salvation, that she would become a sister in Christ. Boy, that would be a glorious salvation and make a difference in this state in a big way. It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And I read this last week, and I was thinking of, y'all know who Larry King is, right? All right, remember how he used to interview everybody on TV? Is he still on TV? I don't know that he is. I don't even know if he's still alive, is he? Is he? Okay, he's a Jew, you know that? He's an unsaved Jew that so much wants to know the truth. And I read of this incident that happened several years back. Bryant Gumbel of CNN, a TV and radio personality, some of you remember him from sports, was interviewing Larry King. It was the other way around. And he asked Larry King, if you had one question you could ask God, what would it be? And Larry King said, I would ask God if he had a son. And he does. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And that makes the promises of the Word of God true. He is the Messiah. Paul goes on and lists all kinds of religious accomplishments that he accomplished in the flesh as a member of the Sanhedrin, as a promising young rabbi. He had mounted up a list. He had a resume that was unbelievable. And people were looking to him for leadership. And he got saved. And he got born again. He said, that's all a pile of manure. He said, I count that all as dung. all those earthly accomplishments. He said, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Christ, the very Son of God. And he did. In verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You mark down verse 10, because we're going to come back to that in the next chapter. But in verse 10 of this chapter, Paul said, what I want is to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings, and I want to be made conformable unto his death. That goes along with what we studied this morning in Sunday school. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I know I haven't arrived. The Apostle Paul said, listen, if anybody wants to talk about good works, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a member of the Sanhedrin. Man, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to have memorized the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. He was a promising young rabbi. People looked to him for leadership. He persecuted the followers of Christ. Gets genuinely born again. And when he gets born again, he realized, man, that was just all a bunch of nothing. That was just all the accomplishments of man. He said, I would rather have Jesus than any of that. And he says, brethren, Church of Philippi, Church at Fundamental, I recognize this, the great Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived, said, I haven't arrived. God's still working on me. I'm still far from perfect. I count not myself to have apprehended, verse 13, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, press. He said, I pursue. I am pursuing the mark or the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, perfect, complete, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Verse 18 says, because many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you again weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile, our corrupt body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. I've already preached through the first 11 verses of this chapter at some point this winter. I want to give you three reasons to press on. Three reasons to not quit out of the scripture. I can think of other reasons. Like, for instance, we're going to see our brethren that have gone on before us, that were at one time in the harness of the gospel, and they were serious about serving God, and they're wanting us to serve God, and we're going to stand before them and say, well, no, I didn't talk to so-and-so. I never got around to spending any time. I didn't. And you know what? We're going to meet eyeball to eyeball. That day is coming. Another reason is, in my life, is I'm afraid of my mom, and I'm afraid of mama. And I know, and she's given me several bits of wisdom in life. I shared this with you once before in some message at some point in the past where she basically said, told me to shut up. I can't remember how it went exactly. It was so rich and so deep. You just shut up, or something like that right now. I've applied that many times in my life. And here's another one. This is what I want to preach this morning. And it is obviously not original with her. And it's an absolute truth. Quitters never win. Quitters never win. You can't lose in Christ unless you quit. If you quit, man, you're just kind of throwing everything to the kick and everything to the curb. But if you serve God, quitters never win. But if you keep on going, you're an absolute winner in Christ. Jesus said, Luke 9:62, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, man, you're just not worthy of the kingdom of God if you can't keep serving God after all he has done for you. Look at verse 10. First of all, we have the provision of God. This was the last point of the message I preached earlier. The provision of God. You can trust God. No matter what He will take care of you as a child of God. Back in the old building, 1981, I'm preaching in the old tin tabernacle in Rudyard. There was a man in the church named Guy Barber. You remember him? Any of you were any of you here at that time? All right. Guy Barber, an old man from Tennessee, moved up here with the auto industry. Mary was a saint. Guy was he turned out to be a great saint of God, just a great prayer warrior. But he was your typical down south kind of guy, you know. And Guy, I'm going to share some things right now this morning. You just take it with a grain of salt, all right? You know, he had that bewildered look on his face all of the time. Like people from Tennessee have. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? The further south you go, it seems like the more it's that way. And I stood up trying to be funny one Sunday morning and said, you remember this. You might want to write this down. No matter where you go in life, there you are. And I can remember him, a small church, small auditorium, and he's sitting right there in the front. I remember his head cocked off to the side like it was a lot, and his mouth open. And he was trying to digest what wisdom came out of his preacher's mouth. No matter where you go in life, there you are. And I had to explain it was a joke, is what I had to do. But you know what? There is great Bible truth in that. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look at what I just read and look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content. You know what I found out this week? That word content is not the same as the word used earlier on in this letter. It's not the same word used in Timothy. That word content means contained. So what do you mean, preacher? You ever get a you've heard of apartments and homes that you buy that are self-contained, that already have all the furnishings? That's the word here. It's all the trimmings are already there. All the furniture is already there. All you've got to do is move in. No matter where you go in life as a child of God, there you are. No matter where you go in life, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My life is furnished. Christ is my all in all. I have everything that I need. All I got to do is trust God. He's providing for me every step of the way. Do you realize the pressure that takes off of life for the child of God? So in other words, if I'll serve God and I'll put him first in my life and I'll go where he wants me to go and I'll say what he wants me to say and I'm his instrument in life, he's going to meet my every need. I can learn to be content. I understand my life is furnished. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I understand that God provides for me every single step of the way. He's all I need. He is all we need in the 21st century. Just like the Hebrew children traveling through the wilderness, the rock was right there with them. The water that flowed from the rock was right there. The manna that came from heaven, the quail that flew into the camp, it was always there. Their shoes never wore out. If you and I could just get this mindset where if I serve God, God is going to take care of me. Now, I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to do the things that God has called me to do and the things that he has put on my plate or placed in my hands. I'm going to be a good steward with them. I'm going to be faithful, but I'm not going to worry. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these food and raiment, all these things shall be added unto you. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying. He was saying from a prison cell, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned that God takes care of his servants, that God will completely furnish everything. All the furniture's here. I don't have to buy anything. God is going to provide for me every step of the way. The provision of God. There's a reason to be content. There's a reason to be to press on. Press on for the glory of God. Tom Malone used to say this. A guy would ask him from time to time, or he'd ask them from time to time, well, how you doing? And their response would be, well, pretty good, pretty good under the circumstances. And his response would always be this: what are you doing down there? Why are you under the circumstances? Don't let the circumstances of life dictate your walk with God. You learn to be content. You say, well, preacher, I need to get this and I need to get that and I want to get that. Listen. Honor God. He's going to meet your need. We're going to see that here. Press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. God knows what he is doing. I have all I need for every situation. Jesus first is all I got to know. Say, oh, that's good for the preacher to preach that, but that's not where I'm living. Why are you living where you're living? Why don't you honor God? Why don't you say with the Apostle Paul, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, self-contained. God is going to give me everything I need. So brother and sister, press on towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Pursue the will of God for your life. He's going to meet your every need. Then look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. This was a mission-minded church that met the need of the Apostle Paul on at least two occasions, no doubt on several occasions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They were the only church that was always there for the Apostle Paul, no matter where he was in the world at that time. They struggled, they strived to always meet his need. We don't read that the church of Philippi was rich. We don't read that at all. In fact, just the opposite. But God always met their need. And the reason God always met their need, and Paul was able to say this by way of inspiration and record it in Holy Scripture. Paul was saying to the church in Philippi, a mission-minded, a giving church, a church that where Jesus was first, he said, God's going to supply your every need. God is going to strengthen you every step of the way. You're already experiencing what I already know, and that's that we're self-contained in Christ. He furnishes everything we need, every step of the way. What a God we serve. Verse 15 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when it departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The power of God, the power of the resurrection. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I heard a great story, a cute little story this last week of a man visiting several boys. They were playing baseball out on the lot, and they had their little uniforms on, and he was standing on the third baseline just leaning against the fence, and he said, son, how you doing? He said, well, we're down 32-0. He said, well, you're not doing very well, are you? You're getting killed. He said, no, we're not getting killed at all. Mister, we're not getting killed at all. We haven't been to bat yet. And that's the attitude we ought to have as Christians. The fact is, you know what? The world may look like they're winning right now, but we haven't been to bat yet. You understand who we are in Jesus Christ. You understand what we have in Jesus Christ. And there's a problem in the family of God. A lot of people know where they're going, but they don't know who they are or what they have. They don't understand that because they don't read their Bible. And they don't walk by faith. And they're really not living the Christian life. They just know they're going to heaven. They got born again. And that's all they got. And I'm telling you, that's kind of an anemic life for the child of God to live. Look at chapter 3 again in verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him. This is what Paul wanted. He said, I choose Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. I would remind you, and I think I illustrated that last Sunday morning on Easter Sunday, we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen God. That's why the waters of baptism, people identify with Jesus Christ because God's alive, because he conquered the grave. Man, if he did not conquer death, if he did not raise from the tomb, if he did not overcome death and all that is involved there, then we have no salvation. And who'd get baptized, right? What picture is death, burial, and resurrection? You go under the water, everybody get, you know, picture the death and the burial and just leave it there? That's not how it works. It's death, burial, and resurrection, raised to walk in newness of life. As children of God, understand, our God lives. Amen. He is alive. I don't want any dead God. I don't want any dead orthodoxy. I don't want any religion that's old and musty and has no power of the resurrection. You know why people get born again here? And you know why lives change of people that have been born again? The power of the resurrection. Paul said, I haven't arrived and I'm still changing. But the power of the resurrection. There's a lady here in the church, I won't name names, but your husband made a profession of faith, and she knows who she is, made a profession of faith, and on Monday morning he swore, and she said, Pastor, I don't think he was born again. I said, listen, that's been part of his vocabulary for 60 years. You know what? To slip, that doesn't mean there wasn't a new creation on the inside. That doesn't mean there wasn't a change on the inside. We grow in grace after salvation. The change starts on the inside, not from the outside in, from the inside out. The power of the resurrection. And Paul said, I'm on that pilgrimage. Paul said, I'm on that journey. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to have fellowship with his sufferings. Man, I want to know what it is to, I press on. I haven't arrived. I press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Look at Philippians again in chapter 4. First of all, a reason to press on is the provision of God. He meets our every need. God knows what he's doing. He meets our every need. Secondly, the power of God. He's omnipotent. He's for real. He is for real. He changes lives. He forgives sinners. There are 30 or 40 people. Well, not a church crowd. As far as I know, never darkened the door of a church. Man and God, some of them were born anew from above. Of the Holy Spirit. They're babes in Christ. They got to grow. We've got to help them to grow. We've got to reach out and do the best we can. You know, when they get that little postcard in our Jerusalem project, they're going to say, oh, hey, that's that church that did the funeral. That's where I prayed and received Christ. Some of them told me afterwards, man, I feel so good on the inside. You know, and that's salvation. That's being born again. The power of God. Let's not limit it. The power of God and what needs to be done. You know, we've never run buses other than on a big day on Sunday morning here at Fundamental Baptist Church. The main reason for that is we never had room for so many years. Now we got the Heritage building, the Connector building in between. So truthfully, we do have room right now. And we have a Sunday school contest that's starting next Sunday morning. And we can get busloads of kids on Wednesday night for King's Kids. We can stack them up. They're waiting at bus stops. It's the easiest thing in the world to bring them to King's Kids. Sunday morning is a little bit different. But God is not without power to get them up on Sunday morning and get them to church. And it may take a few more workers, and it may take somebody willing to say, hey, you know what, I'll help serve breakfast, or I'm willing to go knock on that door and go into the home and find the kids' shoes and maybe find a Bible for them and comb their hair and get them on the bus. It's going to take a few people going out on Saturday to shake the bushes just a little bit, come a little bit early on Sunday morning for Sunday school, which wouldn't hurt any of us. That's just the fact. And you'd be here in time for Sunday school. It'd be an excellent thing. And get out there and work these buses for the glory of God. And this summer, use it for God's glory. Who knows what will happen? Who knows who will be reached? Who knows what mom or dad who loves their children and needs some help with them, and they see that you love their children, what an impact that will have on their lives. It's too easy to just keep your hands clean and never get involved in ministry or just get involved in certain ministries. The power of God changed lives. Look at verses 18 and 19. The promise of God. But I have all and abound. This is Paul, the one who's learning to be content. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an offering, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God, mission-giving. And then he gives a profound promise, and it's real. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. My God, Paul says, he personalized it. He says, my God, the one that I worship, he'll meet all your needs, not necessarily your wants, but your needs abundantly according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Meet your every need. Harry and I went to a revival meeting. Pastor Bill went to on Monday night. And went to Cadillac, tried to encourage a preacher, and it was a good meeting. We went there, and on the way in, I laughed. Another preacher we met, you see a lot of preachers, you know, at those things, and it's always good fellowship, and iron sharpeneth iron. And I laughed, and I said something along this line to Harry and Pastor Bill: this is a special meeting. This is a Monday meeting. I'm a preacher. I know better than to bring my wallet in, because they're going to take a love offering. You know, that's the, and I said it jokingly, and God in heaven knows I mean that jokingly, right? And but I find that God has a sense of humor. And so I didn't have my wallet. They had the love offering. Oh, man, I was blessed tonight. I kind of feel bad I didn't bring my wallet. And I didn't. Well, we went down to the Capitol the next day to have that meeting. On the way back, we had time, so we pulled into that same meeting. And this time, because I didn't think about it ahead of time, I had my wallet with me. And, oh, the preaching was good, man. It was good. And I went to the altar, and it was just a good time. And I was sitting right back, like right back in here about row four. Actually, I guess it was right back in here, about row four. And now we're going to take a love offering. Yeah. Oh, I got my wallet. Okay, all right. So I reach in my pocket, and I pull out my wallet, and I open it up, just like many of you do sometimes. And there were three or four $1 bills. That's not really enough. And I flipped it back, and there was a $100 bill. I thought, there was a real battle went on in the heart of Tim Rader. So what ought I to do? Well, I know what I ought to do. So I did the right thing. I pulled out the $100 bill, and I crimpled it up so nobody could see it, and I put it in the offering plate, and I felt good about it. I felt victorious. You know what they gave me for doing that unexpected funeral on Friday? $100. And I'm thinking to myself, well, at the meeting, I was thinking to myself, God has a sense of humor. He heard me last night laughing about not bringing in my wallet. And here's that $100 bill. I've been there all week. You know, and I got plans for that, but it's okay. And then God in his goodness, my God shall supply all your need. I do a funeral. I don't ask for money at those things. And if I have a choice, I don't take money, but the funeral director, I don't mind taking money from the funeral director. He come up to me afterwards, and he gave me a $100 bill. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. God, you did it again. That's the God I worship. This is what the Apostle Paul said. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Here's three reasons to press on. Number one, the provisions of God. God knows what you need. He knows what he's doing, and he'll meet your need every step of the way. Number two, the power of God. He will enable you. He'll allow to get you'll get accomplished what God would have you to get accomplished. You don't need to worry about talent. And number three, the promises of God. He promises to meet your every need. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That is a bigger than life promise. Amen. Verse 19. That's bigger than anything Tim Rader could conjure up. That's bigger than anything Tim Rader could manipulate and just kind of get my arms around. That's bigger than anything. He'll meet my every need. You see, you say, well, I'm going to do my best to meet my own needs. You don't even know what your needs are. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what the doctor is going to say next month. You don't know where your life is going. You are foolish if you try to live without God as a child of God. Far better to press on knowing God takes care of you. Far better to press on knowing he'll enable you. He'll empower you. Far better to press on to know the promise of God that he'll meet your every need. He'll meet your every need according to his riches. It's a whole lot more there than there is down here in this little wallet.
Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.